This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. My name is Maggie. I am one of your hosts, and I am joined today by Matthew.
Hello.
We have Jared Popkin, our special guest in studio as well.
Can I sit with you guys?
Yes, of course you can sit. We are so excited for you to be here. We have Becky remoting in.
Hello.
And we got Rainey on the ones and twos.
Hi.
Jared.
Yes, Maggie.
The audience is obsessed with you, so we had to have you on. Anyone seen Escape the Kitchen? It is so good.
He is a fan favorite.
Yes, you absolutely are. So we are very excited that you are here.
Thanks, guys. I try not to read comments, but my mom always sends them, so I read them anyway.
Well, I know just based on like friends have told, my mom is like a huge fan of yours.
I'm a huge fan of your mother.
Well,
I didn't know that
you.
It goes both ways.
Oh, it absolutely goes both ways. She's like, Jared is so funny.
I love your parents.
In Without a Recipe and Escape the Kitchen, so we are just so excited.
Hell yes.
The bitch is back.
Yes.
Papa's home, baby.
Woo!
Woo!
So, kind of before your Try Guys debut, we wanted to like learn more about Jared.
Okay.
What is your background?
Who is Jared?
Who is Jared?
I ask that every day.
Yeah.
Like before Try Guys?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So I am from
Miami,
South Florida. Uh-huh. You know, born and raised. And then when I was 18, I dropped out of college in Florida and moved to Chicago.
Mm.
I did Second City there, which is a comedy club. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Chris Reinecker.
Wow.
So Chris and I met way back then. And then like months after I met him, he moved back to LA to start doing this work at a company that was just starting called BuzzFeed. Mm. So he would, you know, we would fly, I would fly back and forth and do sketches with him at BuzzFeed. And that's where I met Keith and Becky and everyone else. Ooh. I know so many of us here. And then, yeah, I think I was like, why am I flying back from LA where I'm shooting videos that goes out to all these people and I get to make sketch comedy to go bartend in the winter of Chicago? So yeah. I eventually just like pulled the trigger and moved out here. I've been out here for 9 years.
Wow. Oh my gosh, it's been that long.
August 5th, 2015, I boarded a flight to Los Angeles.
No looking back.
Yeah. No, I've just, you know, I'm a sketch comedy guy. I'm an actor. I've been acting since high school. Mm-hmm. Got into sketches, and then through doing sketches, I was like, oh, I think a lot of people find this, like you start as like an actor, you start as something, and then as you get older and you pursue it more, you're like, oh, the word wasn't act, like I'm a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy being a storyteller. Sometimes my medium of storytelling is acting or directing or writing or producing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're so happy to have you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
How did you move? Did you know anyone in Chicago? Like going from Florida to Chicago,
huge.
Another big move.
Cultural shock.
Yeah.
Totally different place.
What did you notice? Like what was?
The first thing I noticed, like the very first thing was in the Midwest, the average height is so much different.
What?
I'm from
really?
Yeah. So I'm already short. I'm 5'5". And I'm already like a short dude. But like in Miami, like 5'5 is not average, but it's definitely not crazy.
Uh-huh.
Whereas when I got to the Midwest, I was like, oh, the average is like 6 feet here.
Oh.
That was like the first thing I noticed. Like on the train from the airport, I was like, everyone here is huge.
You're a little prince.
Yeah, I'm a little prince. And that's the first thing I noticed. My mom's side is from there.
Oh, okay.
She grew up in Chicago. Mm. My aunt went to prom with Jeremy Piven.
Oh,
whoa.
I just found that out. That's why I shared it. So, yeah, they're from that area. And then when I was like in either middle school or high school, I started like in the summer when I was visiting my mom's side, I would do like Second City boot camps. So when I dropped out of school, I was like, what next? And then my parents were like, you like Second City? Go try that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So supportive.
They are. I am very lucky. Like, I don't think a lot of artists have supportive parents. Yeah. You know, that's like kind of the struggle. My parents are incredibly supportive. They don't always understand what they're supporting, but they're supporting
it. That is so wholesome.
Yeah. They don't know how to do it sometimes, but they are supportive. Aww, yes.
Very so fortunate. Sweet.
Yeah.
You had a sketch comedy group in Chicago, an improv group.
Yeah.
And you guys moved out to LA all together. Do you do it at the same time or one at a time?
So kind of one at a time-ish, but it felt all together. I mean, like, we do everything all together. So my old improv and sketch team is called Blood Oath. The joke was like, we took a blood oath to be here, but we never really did. We all took our own version of a blood oath. Mm-hmm. But we had started doing comedy together when we were like 19. We all met doing, another member, Trevor and I, wrote a short film. We all met doing that short film. We hit it off immediately. There were six of us. And then we spent like a long time like doing comedy in Chicago and traveling and doing comedy. That's how I saw LA for the first time. I went, we did a lot of places. I was very fortunate to meet them. And in a cool way, it's like they're your friends, so you're always happy for them. But it's so cool to see like how all of our careers have kind of gone in very cool directions, you know? Trevor's
and you're
on the,
all thriving.
Yeah. I mean, we got lucky. I think we all liked each other because we all really admired each other's abilities. So like we were all really good at what we do and we were all good at different parts, I think, of what we do. I know that sounds very cocky, but I'm saying it from like the perspective of when I was in it, right? So like Trevor was like, you know, he's amazing and he's on the road right now filming and directing like social media clips for Chris Redd. Ricky is producing and acting on The Bear.
Cool.
I'm me. Torian is killing it. He was in Fire Island and now he's like a big head honcho in casting world. Ryan, who I don't know if you guys know, is like one of my favorite actors of all time. So yeah, we're all, you know, doing our thing.
Yeah.
Becky and Keith got to see us do a show a while ago.
We did. Yeah. It was actually really good.
Oh,
like going to comedy shows is kind of a hit or miss, truly.
Mostly a miss.
And I was pregnant at the time, or maybe like had just given, it was like right after we got home or something.
Yeah.
So I wasn't drinking and that's always tough. Stone cold sober to comedy, but they were really good. They were really funny.
Thank you.
And like, usually you make that up about your friends sometimes after comedy shows, but this one was actually good. And we did leave right after them.
Yes. Yeah. Improv is a hard
thing. They didn't stick around for the next group.
Yeah. They're, listen, Becky and Keith know the deal. They spent time in Chicago. Keith's an improviser. It's like, improv shows are not guaranteed. As much as I love that community and love the style and the form, it's if you're going to see a friend show and then they're like the middle of a lineup or at the end of a lineup or at the beginning of a lineup of other people you don't know and they're all playing improv, 90% chance it's not going to be necessarily the best show you've ever seen.
Mm. That's true. I took Eugene on our second date
hilarious
to a comedy club and he was like, this is the worst date ever.
Oh, no.
It was bad. The people were bad.
So it's okay. I think that's okay for a date. I don't know how this date worked out. If the night of comedy is bad, now you and your date get to like be funny about how bad it was.
I mean, yeah. He still talks about how bad it is.
You have inside jokes.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
It's a real, it's a good way to find out if the person you're dating has the similar humor to you.
Super. Because
if you liked the show and he didn't, that's not to say that you did, but
disconnect.
Like that's a weird disconnect, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good date.
Did you go to a lot of comedy shows before?
Yeah.
Or you just thought it would be a fun activity for a second
date? Just like
a
fun activity. Yeah.
That's
something
so
different.
Cute. You
know? Aww.
Yeah.
Matt, you're so sweet. That's so sweet.
He's like, we need to do something
like, you dragged me. This was so horrible.
Not a movie. We have to change it up.
What other early dates did you do?
Our first date was a movie.
Yeah. Oh, which movie?
It was Argo.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, right.
You did Argo and then a comedy show.
And now you guys are together many years later.
The diversity is fabulous.
I had to balance out Argo with something. You know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. My first date ever was in seventh grade. I took a girl to see Along Came Polly.
Wow.
Mm. Oh.
How'd it go?
I was so awkward. I like, you know, I was like nervous. I'm on my first date ever. And my mom dropped me off. And I put my arm around her at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, my God. Starting early. Spicy.
And I was so like, I didn't I didn't want to like take my arm away because I'm a boy who doesn't understand anything yet.
Oh.
And so I sat there. My arm went to sleep. Like,
I was going to say, your arm was so hurting.
Within the first act of this film.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's dead.
It's dead. And I never took it off. And I don't really remember anything other than that. It was just like my arm was in serious pain.
Yeah.
And I never gave up on it. Wow. I don't quit.
Do you know you could have like held a hand to like change position
listen,
at any point?
If I had a time machine, I could have given a lot of tips.
Yeah.
But holding hands would be at the top of that list. but I don't know. I didn't know anything yet.
How long did you guys date? Or was that the end?
I think that was the end.
The beginning of the end.
She had a lot going on.
Her neck went numb.
Yeah. She had a lot going on in life, so.
It's a one-day wonder.
Yeah. But movie's fantastic, so.
So we got that.
Favorite film of all time.
One of. I mean, what is your favorite movie of all time, guys?
Oh, that's such a hard question.
That is a hard question. Oh.
Because it's so hard, I have a fake answer for it.
What's your fake answer?
Because I don't have an answer, so I just say The Sandlot.
Ooh, okay.
That's a good one.
Becky, you remember when I told you that the first time and you told me that's how you met Keith?
Yeah, we were in a Sandlot. Well, the theme of the party was obscure movie characters.
Oh.
And so I was obscure. I was Wendy Pfeffercorn.
The lifeguard.
And then Keith and all of his friends did not go obscure. They went for like every player of the Sandlot. And they made me take a picture with them. And everybody thought that we came up with this idea together. And I was like, I did this on my own.
Becky literally met this group at the party.
Right.
I just think that's so cool.
That is really cute. Yeah. Great mind, single liar.
Yeah.
Wait, Becky, you said you definitely know what your favorite movie is?
Yeah, Big Fat Liar. BFL. I just watched it last night.
Great choice.
Wow.
Big Fat Liar is one of the best movies ever made.
Paul Giamatti. Sandcore.
Paul Giamatti. Oh my God. And you know what we found out last night? I was looking it up because I was like, Paul, like this was obviously like one of the pinnacles of your career. How old, and Maggie, don't answer because you were in the group chat. How old do you think Paul Giamatti was in Big Fat Liar? Imagine. Biffle, as it's known in the industry.
He's blue.
He's already
blue. Also, how old do you think Paul Giamatti is now?
I think
because
Paul
Keith and I both I think thought he was an old man, and he's not an old man.
I think Paul Giamatti's a little probably younger than my parents. I'd say mid-50s.
And how old is
he? Ding, ding, ding.
I would say that he was probably mid-30s when he did Big Fat Liar.
He was 34 years old when he did Big Fat Liar.
You got
it. Isn't that crazy? The age that Zach and I are about to be.
That is wild.
That's wild, right? I feel like he has aged gracefully.
Guys, I'm 33.
Yeah.
I'm 1 year away from my Big Fat Liar.
Yeah, you're there.
You need your Big Fat Liar moment.
Any of the casting people or filmmakers watching this pod? You want to do a reboot?
Sign him up.
IP is big right now. Maybe we can just get that IP and do it again.
True. Remake.
I think they did make a Big Fat Liar too, but nobody was in it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Matt, what about you? What is the best movie of all time?
Argo.
I don't know if I love Argo so much. I mean, I don't know what my favorite movie is now, but my favorite movie in high school was Drop Dead Gorgeous.
I haven't seen Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh my God, you have to see it.
What's it about?
None
Who's
of these
in
people
it?
Have seen it. So it's like
a cult classic.
Yeah, it's a cult classic. It's like it's kind of a mockumentary.
Oh, love.
Of a beauty pageant in Minnesota.
Oh.
And it has Kirsten Dunst in it. So it's like one of her like breakout
amazing
roles.
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to watch it.
You have to watch it.
I will.
It's so funny.
I love a good movie, especially when it's like a throwback that I haven't seen. It's like finding hidden treasure.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yours, Jared?
My favorite, The Sandlot's a go-to answer lately, and like all my writer friends make fun of me because whenever I'm in any creative meeting of any kind, I always source this one film that no one also has seen, and it's called Hamlet 2.
Oh.
Hamlet 2 does not have
Becky
rock me sexy Jesus.
Exactly.
Is that one?
Becky, yes.
Yeah.
This is why we're friends. That is one of my all-time favorite comedies. No one's ever seen it except for me and Becky. But it is so good. Stephen Coogan, who is a British actor and comedian. He is so good in it.
Wait, so what pitch? So you're in meetings. Like, you're a storyteller, but what do you do? What's your day-to-day? Like, what meetings are you in?
What is your life?
Yeah.
Well,
Jared's a part of a very cool new group. You might have seen his work on YouTube and the TikToks.
Mm-hmm. The TikTok.
Tell us about it, J-Pop.
I was reminded because I feel like Jacob Elordi kind of looks like Josh Richards.
Jacob and Josh are friends. Is that a big
you
deal?
You could meet Jacob Elordi.
I probably have and will again. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Well, next time, you know what to do.
Very talented actor as well. is that Rainey's crush?
I mean, of course.
Is that everyone's crush? My goodness.
Everyone is Rainey's crush.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, discerning.
Jacob Elordi, I got to give it to the guy. He's a good looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good looking dude.
He's kind of scary, though. I feel like him in Euphoria really did taint my view of him.
I wasn't a Euphoria fan.
A lot of people weren't, I'm finding out, 3 years later.
I never watched that. I mean, I did give season one a good full run. I gave it and Zendaya is amazing. I mean, a lot of the actors actually on that show are incredible. It, for me, that show felt like I came from a public school in Florida, so like felt like a fake version of my. It was like, oh, a guy who never went to a school like mine is writing about schools like mine.
Yeah.
That's just how it felt to me. So I couldn't ever get gripped in, but I loved some of the performances. Like, not to take away from anyone on that show, they're very talented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Euphoria is the reason you need a writer's room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like hire writers, otherwise you get Euphoria.
Also, as a male writer who often runs into this trap and struggle, if you're writing prominent women characters, you need women's touch on the writing.
Period.
Like it's hard to be someone that's writing from a place that you are not. It's just a really hard thing to do. Not to say that's impossible, but you got to have a woman's touch on a woman character, in my opinion. So if you're writing that many like main women's characters, you should have more women in the room. I don't know if they did or not, but they should.
They didn't. Yeah. The writer's room was Sam Levinson.
Yeah.
It was himself.
Sometimes that can work. An individual writer just writing the story from the heart, I get it. But if it's a TV show and you have those kind of characters, I think maybe have.
But you didn't answer the question, right? What?
Yeah.
Becky prompted you with the question.
Oh.
You're doing amazing things.
Sorry.
On the YouTubes and TikToks.
Yeah, so my background is in sketch and stuff. So a year ago, Reinecker reached out and we were looking to do a show with influencer Josh Richards, who is a phenomenal kid. Like, I didn't really know what to expect when I first met him. I'm like, am I going to really sign up to do a sketch comedy, like a traditional, like Key and Peele style sketch comedy show for a 21 at the time year old, like,
barstool kid.
The way I saw him, I'm like, this kid's just like really good looking,
right?
As an influencer, I didn't understand it, and then I met him, and he just like said all the right things. I was like, this kid is well beyond his years. I wish I was as smart as Josh was when I was his age, and he just had all the right things to say. He cared about it. He wanted to put in the work. Like, he really wanted to respect the craft of acting and get more reps in the world. And I was like, dude. I mean, you see him. It's like, this is like a 7-foot basketball player walking into a gym that I coach basketball and being like, I want to learn how to play basketball. And you're like, well, I can't teach you how to be 7 feet, but I can teach you how to play the sport.
Yeah.
So he's got the look, he's got the vibes, and he's going to grow into becoming, he already is a really good actor.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see where his career goes. But to the answer is, so for the last year, I was developing and working on a sketch show with him. So we wrote it, directed it, produced it. I'd show up in it sometimes. I did that with Reinecker and then another writer, Xavier Phillips. It was mostly filmed. We got a great crew on, like, around episode 2 or 3, we started bringing in, like, a really great crew. Eli DiFiore is our cinematographer. Some amazing artists on the show. And since that is wrapped, I've been still working with Josh. So, like, meetings day to day is, like, you know, working with him on whatever deals he's got. I'm trying to lean us more into doing more cinematic adventures, right? So, like, he just did this amazing promo for Fallout, the new show on Amazon.
It was
that
so
I directed.
Cool.
Thank you, Becky. I directed that.
Yeah, it was really neat. I thought he was in it.
I know.
It looked like
was
it was
so
filmed
funny.
With it.
I
know.
So we, like, filmed this, and then we went to South By, and we saw their trailer, and we saw a piece of the show, and I'm like, we got to release this right away. This we just made something so in the style of the actual show that when it came out, people were like, oh, Josh Richards is in Fallout. he's doing a promo for it. But he could have been. I mean, the kid is good. I have nothing but good
things to say.
I
literally was Googling.
Yeah, no,
I was like, is Josh Richards in Fallout?
I wish he was, and I wish I directed a piece of the show. No, that was just in-house from the... Him and Chris Sautel own a production company called Crosscheck Studios. So I've been working with them for about the last year. I kind of... Before that, like, a lot of people don't really know what I do, but I'm like a gun for hire when it comes to doing stories, right? If you need a director, a writer, creative producer, actor...
Idea man.
I did ideation for a lot of big influencers. I did that for Mr. Beast for a while.
How do you... Okay, so like there are, we were talking about this kind of earlier about your parents being supportive, but there are kind of messages about like being an actor. Like I know my sister wants to be an actress.
Yeah.
And it's like exciting, but then it's also like, wait, there's so much rejection. Like, did you get a lot of pushback just from like the world being like, oh, you want to be an actor? Are you sure?
I will for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I am not by any measure, like compared to some people, successful in that sense. But like whenever I get approached by like a family friend or someone who was like a young kid in high school wanting to get into it, the advice that was given to me, I give to them. Mm. And it sounds kind of mean, but it's very real. And it's a simple question of like, is there anything else in the world that you could see yourself doing that would make you happy or fulfilled? I don't say that to make somebody like, when I was young, I was probably competitive. Like, no, I don't mean that in a competitive way. I mean it sincerely. Like if there is anything else on the planet that could lead to you being fulfilled and happy in life, go do that.
Yeah.
I would not recommend acting on anyone. It's a hard life. Uh-huh. Like you may be some kid in high school right now in honors or AP or whatever your program, like you are used to being a smart, successful kid. And then you're going to watch people buzz by you in like the milestones of life if you choose this world. Like you will, it very rarely just like happens for you, right? So it could be, you're signing up for maybe a decade plus of like being really poor, like financial burden. You'll be stressed out. But it'll all be worth it if this is the only thing that fulfills you. It's like a weird, some people are just born. It's like a blessing and a curse, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's just what calls to you, I guess. But I would never recommend someone to get into acting. There's so many other jobs that are more guaranteed. Acting is incredibly hard and you can work a really long time to be very good. Mm-hmm. And I've been on both sides of an audition table. And if I'm on the side that's casting, I can tell you wholeheartedly, like, I have never been in an audition where the best actor got the job.
What?
Wow. Really?
That's just not how it goes. So like you could be the best person out of 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And you are not going to get the job necessarily because like you didn't say that thing the way she wanted you to say it, or you just didn't look. You were the best actor, but we imagined someone taller, or we imagined someone skinnier, or someone bigger, or whatever it is. Like most of it is so out of your hands that it can be incredibly depressing, frustrating, stressful, yada, yada. But it is.
A lot of rejection.
It's a lot of rejection.
A lot of rejection.
Jared, what's it like going from like auditions and acting and doing improv to doing something like Without a Recipe or Escape the Kitchen, where you, I think before this, I'd never seen Jared be Jared on like on film. It was always Jared is acting or Jared's it's doing so improv, funny. But you are Jared.
I was really, I fell into when Keith and Zach and the Try Guys wanted me to do videos. Of course I'm going to do it because they're my friends. Mm-hmm. Right. But I never like moved here with wants to be like a host or like be on camera as myself. So being on camera as myself is a whole other experience. I don't put that in like the same field as like my acting or sketches. Like I never thought I would want to be myself on camera. That's not like what I crave. I don't necessarily think I needed that, but I enjoy doing it with the right people, Zach, Keith, Eugene, like those people being the right people. And the parts I take from improv, really the simple cheat code is like, I've done improv for so long in my life that being very honestly present has gotten easier and easier. Obviously it sounds easy, but like that takes a long time.
Yeah.
And with the Try Guys, it's just about being incredibly present. And right before I do any shoot with them, like the last words I say to myself is like, be silly, be bubbly. And that's like the version of me I'm trying to channel and like a Without a Recipe or whatever the shoot is like, be interested, be silly and have fun. And I'm a very competitive person and I tried to like not bring that side out. I try to like just be the town fool, if anything, rather than like the guy trying to win.
Yeah.
Well, your facial expressions say it all. They're so good.
That part reminds me of like a mockumentary.
Yeah.
The way that you guys shoot stuff here is very like quick zooms and like punch-ins and stuff like that. And that to me does feel like, oh, I learned this when I was like doing a mockumentary or something. So there is little tricks of like when I feel a camera go to me, like,
yeah,
give the money to the camera, you know? but most of the time I'd never thought about like Jared being Jared on camera. That was never something I thought I'd be doing. I just got asked by like a group of people I respected. So I like did it.
I mean, the winner of the competition is not the person who cooks the best, right? Correct.
Feel that. I mean, yeah. I really can't.
It's like the funniest person, the person who wins the hearts of the fans.
Yeah.
I was just trying to do.
That's why people watch.
I was terrified. Also, they got released out of order. Like the first one we shot was the cook. I was terrified. I tried. I don't
of the cooking part?
Of the
or
cooking.
Which part? Okay.
Yeah. I think this part got cut out maybe, but like I compared it to like, I have friends from cities like New York and Chicago. And when you're from a big city, it's not, it's still weird, like rarer, but it's not uncommon for someone to never have gotten their license because they've used like trains and buses.
Oh, yeah.
So the longer an adult goes without getting their license, I think the scarier that test is and then driving a car is. Whereas if you just jump head first at 15, 16 years old, like you don't think about the fear yet. So you just get it over with. That's how cooking was for me. Like I never got to cooking. So I was like, I am a fully grown adult. This is going to be bad. I was like scared. I don't think I've ever been so scared to do one of the Try Guys shoots.
And it's not just cooking, it's baking. I remember asking you if you had ever baked. Yeah. And you were like, what's the difference?
Same.
I was like, oh no, Jared. And you asked, do you think I should look something up? And I was like, no, not like look something up. And you were like, no, I mean just like what is in a cookie? And I was like, what do you mean what's in a cookie?
That's what I meant.
You don't know.
I didn't know, and I didn't look anything up. I really tried to keep it honest and pure, but I did say to the guys like multiple times, weeks leading up to it, like, "Are you sure you want me in this video?" Because I didn't quite understand what they were going for, and now that I've done it, I'm like, "Oh, me not knowing is the fun." But leading up to it, I'm like, "Guys, I am not exaggerating. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this may not end up like I might not be able to make you anything."
So what do you cook at home? What do you
I can
eat?
Do basic stuff.
Okay.
And also on a grill.
What's a basic stuff?
I can do like
a grill. You make chicken.
Yeah, I can do. Well, on a grill, I don't trust anyone but me. Like I can grill.
I've grilled.
Oh, I'm a grill guy. I love grilling like meats and stuff. I'm very comfortable.
Okay.
But like when it comes to like in a kitchen, I'm like, I'll make a spaghetti or like a basic pasta where I can just put it in a pot. but I don't really, you know. I'm like very basic. I'm also like, if it's all left to my own devices, I'll eat a cold cut sandwich.
Sandwiches are great.
Yeah.
Just a sandwich, bro.
Yeah, I'm a sandwich boy. In COVID, I ate so many cold cut sandwiches.
Nice.
Like two a day for months.
Jared, while you might not excel at cooking, there is something you're really good at that the audience, I don't know if they've ever heard this.
What?
But you are an excellent escapist. You,
what does
and
that
Torian
mean?
And Keith and I
are undefeated.
We can't say the name of our team
because it'll dox our street.
It's also the street where we live.
Yes.
but we do escape rooms quite frequently.
Room.
And Jared, I would say you're one of the leaders of the escape room. Like
this.
You take control of the
this.
Room in a good way.
Ooh, you a leader.
I gotta give a little bit of I think the reason we're I don't know if I'm the leader. I think Keith is our leader of an escape room. I think Keith is like the guy we turn to, but I do think the reason our group of four is so good and we've always escaped.
Wow.
Always escaped.
Undefeated.
Never lost.
Wow.
Never lost is because we're all really good at different things.
Mm.
So like, I think Torian is doing a whole other thing when we're doing that. Becky is doing her own thing. I'm doing my own thing. And like Keith is kind of like a Swiss Army man knife of like, if there's something that none of us can figure out, Keith's probably going to have to figure it out. But thanks. Thank you. I didn't know that was the opinion. I did take a pretty hard tumble on one of our.
I was going to say, do you want to tell the story?
What do you mean a hard tumble?
Because
how do you
I think
tumble in an escape room?
This speaks to Jared's competitive nature that I don't think we see that often on camera. But Jared wants to win.
Yeah.
Bad. He wants to win.
I don't want to lose. I really, really want to win. And I try to hide that on Try Guys, especially like when we're doing something where I like if I fall into that, it's not going to be fun for anyone. Like the content won't be good. So I try to like just have fun and who cares who wins. That is not how I move normally. But we were doing an escape room. It was an Atlantis themed one and it was sick. Like this is not a normal escape room. This was like one of our cooler rooms we've ever done.
Yeah.
And it had like multiple rooms. Right. And in room one, I had flagged something as like, we are going to need this thing for something else later. Mm. I don't know what it is yet, but like, we'll need this later. And I kept thinking we were going to need it and we were going to need it. And there was moments where you're like, is that the thing? Is that the thing? Never came, never came, never came. Without trying to give any spoilers, because people in LA may end up doing this, there's a part where like something very cool happens and like the room literally changes.
Mm.
And then you get through and you're like, that's the moment. We need that thing. But when the room changed, you had to like step into a new room.
And there was water.
And there was water.
Atlantis.
And yeah, it was Atlantis. And there's water. And there was a step. And I stepped in, saw that we needed the thing, got so excited that I turned and went to sprint. Because I have to sprint for like multiple rooms through to get that thing. Yeah. Forgot completely about the water. Forgot completely about the step.
Oh, no.
Becky, would you like to take over from that moment?
So from our perspective, we're in this smaller area.
This was incredibly embarrassing.
To match some things up. And Jared's next to me. He's like, oh, no. I'm going to get the thing. And so he turns and goes running and makes it like three steps before he falls.
Oh, no.
So hard, his pants fall down.
Guys, let me explain. Wait. So you know when you're a bartender, or if you have you seen like in the bars, like the bartenders have those rubber mats?
Yes. Yeah, the no slip mats.
The no slip mats, because there's water. So I fell so hard, like Superman, completely extended. I am completely extended out.
Getting
that when I land, my pants skid across these mats and it
rips them down.
My pants down. My my butt is out completely.
Are there cameras? I'm sure the camera person.
We should have gotten the footage.
Yeah. We asked. We were like, oh, did you see him fall? And they said no, but I think they were maybe trying to be nice.
They definitely probably saw it.
So then we all thought Jared like broke something. God. Like this wasn't like a funny ha-ha fall. It was like a fall.
Like we're going to the hospital.
Yeah. And Jared gets up and he's like, I'm fine. I got this. He goes running. He gets the thing. He comes back. We're like, are you sure you're okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. We go outside. We finish the room. It's great. We talk for like an hour outside. Like we're standing there chit-chatting, like catching up. And Jared's like, I got to go. My leg's bleeding. And we're like, oh shit, you cut your leg. And he was like, yeah, okay, I'll see you guys later. Like a week goes by and Jared's like in our car. I don't know where we were going, but we're like, oh, how's your leg? And he showed us and it was fucking gashed. It was not like a tiny, like what? I scraped my knee. It was like,
I fell on
so when I fell, the two things that happened when I fell that I had to manage, I fell. And the one part, like when you fall, you land on something, right? Yeah. I landed on that knee.
Ow.
So I was managing that while managing the fact that my pants are not my pants anymore. So I had to like, I popped up like immediately. Like I fell, popped up, pulled my pants up, and then ran to the next room, right? When I got to the next room and now I'm like alone because everyone else is like waiting for me, I took a second, I like put my hand on the wall and I was like,
Oh no.
I was just like, that hurt so bad, right? And then we're talking outside for an hour. And I can feel that my knee is bleeding. I didn't really know how bad.
Jared.
I got home. I took my pants off. I was gushing. My entire like shin down was fully blood red. Like everything was just bloody. Yikes. And I was like, oh, this looks like I was playing football like back in the day. And yeah, I had a pretty messed up knee for like a month and a half.
Oh, wow.
The spirit of competition.
And we got out of that room. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you that. Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. I actually thought that was one of the best rooms we've ever done, minus the fall, plus the fall, whatever.
I think that was a really good one.
Yeah.
I don't like when they give you hints in escape rooms.
You don't?
I don't.
We don't ask for them.
Oh, you tell them.
Yeah, you
don't.
Have to ask.
You
to can. Get them.
You have to ask.
Oh. You have to like stick your arms up.
We
right?
do. Our group does everything we physically can to not get those clues. Maybe we'll ask for one. Maybe. Yeah. Sometimes we will.
Yeah.
But we do our best to, there's a lot of rooms we don't get any of the clues.
Yeah, that's what I want. The last time I did it, it was like, I think the person felt bad for us because we were struggling.
You have to have people that are good at different things. That's why I think our team is actually like legitimately very good. Keith is very cerebral. Mm-hmm. I think Becky and I kind of approach it similarly. Like Becky and I are touching everything and looking at everything. Uh-huh. So like Keith is trying to figure out like a code while I'm like, that painting is pictured, like pointing this way. You know, like you have to have somebody that's just like looking at things.
Yeah.
So if you're just doing all different things, I think it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Torian's really good at like the puzzle.
Torian's a puzzle person. Yeah. You're not an escape person?
I am not an escape room person.
Like,
do not invite me.
You don't like it.
No.
Do you get
claustrophobic? Like
no.
No.
It's just not a good time.
I get that. I have things like this. Yeah. I get that. It's like the wrong kind of like, this feels like I have to use my smarts and not in a way that I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
When was the last escape room you went to?
It was probably like 6 years ago for someone's birthday.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Like it was a while ago.
And you were like, never again. I will not be.
Like, we made it out all this stuff, but then it was kind of like, okay, it's not. You know?
Here's what I'll say. My first couple were with like for a birthday and people were drunk and there was a lot of people.
Yeah.
That is not as fun as going with like 4 to 5 people. It has to feel kind of intimate. Like, it has to feel like a team thing. Like, it's like a teamwork thing, right? But again, if you don't like it, you don't like
it. It's a puzzle, basically, right?
Yeah.
I'm also not a big puzzle person.
I like games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like games.
Games.
You like competition.
Yep.
That's what games are.
Yep.
You're a big gamer, too, Poppy.
Love games. Gamer, in what sense, Beck?
Like, you play, what is it, Xbox? Games?
Oh, man.
Games.
I want to play
video games.
The video games.
I haven't played a video game in so long. I've just been too busy. Which is a good thing to have, like, an issue with. Sure. Like, I'm too busy to play my video games.
Yeah.
I haven't played a video game in probably over a year.
Oh, my God.
But, like, normally I'd
the love video game of life.
Oh, my God. If I had nothing going on, I'll give 8 hours to a video game if I could. I love video games. To me, it's like reading a book, but I'm, like, interacting with the book.
What kind of video games do you like to play?
When I was playing, I mean, growing up, I loved sports game, mostly like 2K and Madden. And then my big game that like I'm good at are like shooter games.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Call of Duty or PUBG.
I feel like those are the most popular, aren't they?
Yeah. And I like the competition of it. Mm-hmm. It's good for hand-eye coordination.
Mm-hmm.
I've always played it. I've always played video games growing up, loved it. But I haven't played in so long. It's been so long.
That's crazy. Wow. I didn't know it had been a whole year.
Yep.
Henny's birth really scared you.
Yeah. That night I was like,
you could never relax after that.
Guys, everyone knows that I was there, right? That's like a story that's been told.
Yeah.
You experienced the beginning of the birth.
So when it first happened, so Becky was sitting in a chair and it was like 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. And we were like winding down and I'm like in the kitchen making myself a little plate of pizza. And Becky stood up. And I saw that the chair was like wet, but I'm a stupid boy. And Becky sees me see this. So I just, in my brain, in that moment, I was like, that's a thing pregnant women deal with.
They pee all the time.
He was like, she peed herself.
I thought she peed herself or whatever. Yeah. And she saw me see the chair. And I'm just trying to be like, I didn't see anything. And I didn't like say anything or acknowledge it at all. So I like,
we both did the same, like,
I didn't look at, I like looked at her and like didn't say anything.
Oh my gosh.
And then I went back to the couch and she like went into the other room. Cause that's not, I guess, what pregnant people do or women do. And I was like, I was just sitting on the couch and there was a part of me
you
was
just
like
staring at the chair.
I'm like staring at the TV and I'm like, is that a normal thing? Or is that like her water broke? And now I'm like, my hair is up on my neck and I'm like just sitting there like, and Keith is on his phone next to me playing games.
He didn't realize.
Doesn't know anything. And I hear Becky go like, Keith. Hey, Keith. And Keith doesn't hear the first one. So I look at Keith like this. I'm like looking at Keith like. And then he's like, and then I hear, hey, Keith, like more seriously. And I go, hey, Keith, I think Becky's calling you right now. And then they're in the other room for a while. And I'm like, okay, what's going on?
Like, this is awkward.
Yeah. And then they come back in and Keith's like, so not to panic or anything, but Becky's water just broke. I go, cool. Keith and I very immediately, this is not a joke. I didn't realize this happened. I used to make fun of my dad because my dad's story is about like when my mom's like, my water broke. He always has like a moment of he clearly was in a state of shock.
Right.
And I thought that was so silly. When that happened, Keith and I immediately went into a state of shock.
Like, what are we
and
doing?
I knew that
what
we had
doing?
No.
How do we do it?
The guys that are undefeated escape rooms were not going to escape this. So I was like, we were just in shock. Like, he's like, I guess you're just coming with us to the hospital. I'm like, yeah, I'll do whatever you guys need. Like, I'm just like saying things.
Yeah.
And like Becky comes out. Becky's the only one calm. The only person who has her wits together. And I kind of look at Becky.
I'm still like fully in denial. I'm like, it's just fluid.
Oh, dude. Bye. I'm looking at Becky and I like, I don't know what came over me, but like I'm standing by the door with the bags and stuff. And I'm like, hey, Becky, do you want me to go to the hospital with you guys? And she was like, Jared, why don't you stay here for a little bit? She just like got in the car like nothing was wrong. And then I watched them pull off and I was like, okay, bye. And I knew
See Jared for like 4 months.
Yeah. And then I knew I was.
That was the last we saw.
Yeah.
Jared, how'd you get back home?
Scared him off.
One of Becky's friends drove me.
Oh,
home.
That's nice. Okay. Anyway.
But I knew I was in a state of shock because when I went back inside, I just like sat back on the couch and continued watching what I was watching for like 10 minutes.
Right.
And then something came over me. I was like, wait, I can't just like go back to what I was doing. Like they're having a baby. Like get the house in order. So I just started like cleaning things and like I just started like doing dishes and stuff. I don't know what I was doing, but I kind of went into a shock. I just like started like mopping and cleaning things at 1 in the morning.
Trying to help.
Wow. Yeah, trying. And now we have Henry.
Yeah.
King Henry.
Well, in the spirit of competition.
Yeah.
And using your boy brain.
Okay.
Boy brain.
The ladies have put together some questions. Questions. For us.
Oh, I can't wait to hear them.
So I read the questions, but I did not read the answers because I didn't know all the answers.
You got to put your boy brains together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to guess with you.
Okay. Let's do it.
Because they're all about ladies.
So the first question, tampons and pads have been tested with saline instead of blood. True or false?
True.
Is it saline? The blue stuff in the commercials?
Do you want the reason I give an answer? Or just
yeah,
the
go
answer?
Ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think. I've been told by enough smart women that medical professionals until very recently don't take women's problems seriously. So I'd imagine they should have tested it with blood and they did it with saline. True.
Good job,
that is
Jared.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding.
Exactly. And the reason why is correct too.
All right. Question
I've
number.
I've never thought of it before.
Me neither.
Thanks, Matt.
Question number two. In your own words, what is a diva cup?
A diva cup?
A diva cup.
I'm assuming it's like a douchebag. Is that what's a diva cup? Is it like a little cup that is for pee?
why do we need?
Why do we need a pee pee cup?
You are close. I know the answer to this one.
A diva. If I was giving a funny answer, I'd be like, "Oh, that's what women athletes wear when they play for just for fun to feel like to, playing." Oh,
but efficient. You didn't even go to the bathroom.
Yeah, just in case they could take a kick to the wrong way. A diva cup has to be for pee. For something that's going on with women, like a UTI.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. That's a good guess.
Interesting, Matthew.
Innovative. No, it's when you're on your menstrual cycle, they put that in instead of a tampon.
Oh, it's a replacement.
Yeah.
There's different sort of things.
I love the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More like
Diva branding. Cup.
Diva Cup.
That was like one of the first brands.
More sustainable.
But it's called a menstrual cup.
Menstrual cup.
Mm-hmm.
For the periods.
Yes.
We did that period cramp day. Worst day ever.
Nope. Oh my God. Yeah.
I would rather severe pain for like a few minutes than constant like nagging little pains.
Just breaking it down.
God, that was
minute
the worst
after
day.
Minute.
How do you pee with a pad on? How do you think?
You, okay. Well, the first question I have is, you pee with the pad on?
How do you pee with a tampon in?
I assume,
is a better question.
I did always assume you would take it out.
Yeah, I thought you just take it out.
How many,
and then you got to put a new one in.
How many holes do you think are
I know
going
it's
on?
I know it's a separate hole.
Okay,
but
so
I'm
you do
thinking,
know that.
I think it's a separate hole, but for the sake of comfort, I'd imagine you would take it out. I would imagine I would take it out.
And also the pad goes the pad goes over the whole area.
Yeah, the pad is a whole other thing. You wouldn't take the pad or anything out. Man, how do you do it? You sit.
When,
you just,
when you're menstruating, you don't have to pee. Yeah. That's the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. How would I do it?
How would I do it?
You kind of got it on the first one, right? The pad, it's not attached to you, so you just pee normally.
Yeah.
But I think your other answer is pretty true. I mean, it's personal preference, but you don't have to take the tampon out.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing me, I probably would.
You know, maybe you just want to refresh.
Say love you.
Yeah, I'm a bougie boy. I would refresh it.
Refresh.
Yeah.
Jared's going through 30 tampons a day.
Yeah. Spending a lot of money. By the way, tampons.
Do you pee 30 times a day?
No, but if I'm drinking, I will.
If he's hydrated.
If I'm hydrated. Tampons should be free, right?
You'd think.
Correct.
Which of these is not a period symptom? Teeth hurting, ingrown toenails,
or losing your appetite?
Toenails?
It's gotta be the A or B. It's toenails.
I actually don't know the answer to this.
No, that's
one,
right.
Okay. I was like, why would I give you ingrown toenails?
Ingrown toenails. If you just got ingrown toenails on top of having a monthly period.
Honestly, there's a lot of symptoms that you're like, what? That's rude.
Yeah.
Rude.
Teeth hurting is weird. Yeah. I've never heard that.
Teeth hurting.
Yeah.
But it makes more sense than ingrown toenails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you get pregnant on your period?
No. You can?
Yes.
I thought that was like the whole thing is like you're passing the eggs. Isn't that what that is?
But depending like where your cycle lines up, sperm can survive for a period of time. And then essentially it depending on how long.
I didn't know that.
What are period poops and why do they happen?
That's just when you're getting all those terrible cramps.
Wow. You are correct.
Yeah. You just get those terrible cramps in that spot. And, you know, it kind of feels like you got to poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get funky little movements sometimes.
Yeah. Guys know that feeling. It's just different. It's like that poop that hurts in the waistline and you got to bend over.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of cramp. That kind of cramp. That period day was the worst thing I've ever done. But I am now way more like.
Did you have a period poop on that day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think all the boys did. And it was terrible. And I will always be way more patient with women on their period. I also don't think you should have to go to work on your period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Same.
I would not go to work if I was.
By the way, guys, I'm logging off. Jared, really? I have cramps right now.
Oh,
right in this moment.
I can't believe you're able to laugh or have fun at all. Because I wasn't having any fun at all.
Yeah. 1 of 4 weeks of birth control pills are sugar pills. Is this true or false?
1 of the 4 weeks of
your like if you're taking oral contraceptive.
Yeah, yeah. Sugar pills. Just because I wouldn't believe it, I'm going to say true.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at deducing.
I always thought it was iron.
Some of them, like they're, I mean, I guess certain brand to brand are different.
Is there a reason?
There are, it just like helps. A lot of women are iron deficient just because they every month they are losing blood. But a lot like only two. Oh, I feel like I've been on a brand that's like all iron pills, but then some of them were mixed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
But it's a full week. I didn't know it was a full week.
Yeah.
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 That's usually when you get your period.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take it every day for the month?
Mm-hmm. A placebo. Mm-hmm.
And you try and take it at the same time. Some people will skip that week if they choose to. It just depends.
It's just to remind you, like, if you get out of the loop or out of like system of the taking routine, the pill, you just want to keep the routine.
Yeah. Like a little sugar bookmark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little something sweet.
A little something sweet to remember. I'm learning a lot here.
Today's the day.
I mean, did your school split you up for sex ed?
No.
Did you have sex ed?
Oh,
you didn't have it?
No, I had.
Oh, okay.
We had sex ed.
Yeah.
You asked like if they split us up, boy,
a couple weeks.
No, my middle school sex ed experience is we had a teacher who was like, her name was Miss Booker, I believe. And she was like super like, I think because she was dealing with middle schoolers, she's like, if I'm blunt about this, they'll laugh the first few times and then they'll get over it.
Yeah.
Mm. We're in middle school. We never got over it. Like every time she said anything, we're like, she just said vagina. And then I'm from Florida, so the education system's all over the place. My high school health teacher was my football coach.
Whoa.
And he would teach health with a Lipton.
Ugh.
That's like, disgusting.
And he was like teaching us health with like a big lip in it, like spitting out in the bottle.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Straight out of a movie.
It is. With the
He's like,
milk.
Don't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah. He's got milk coasters in the background.
Yeah, he's like, so don't have sex.
You get chlamydia and you will die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Any LA celebrity stories? Who's the coolest celebrity you've met?
Ooh.
The coolest? Like by my personal opinion?
Yeah.
Oh man, a lot of my good friends, I guess, are considered now celebrity, right?
Wow.
So I won't count them.
Have you met any of your like childhood celebrities? Like people in movies when you're children, you moved to LA and then you've met them.
Oh yeah, I've met a few. And I've never had bad experiences with any celebrities. Like I've seemed to, the trick, if you want to know a trick I've learned, this is not the answer, but something that actually this will feed into the answer. I got to give him credit. One of the coolest people to me because I knew who he was. Like, I had watched his show, and he was so, he's always so sweet to me, and he's like a good friend now, like a friend, you know?
Yeah.
Sterling from Ridiculousness. I thought he was like way cooler than I anticipated him to be. And obviously, you know, his best friend is Michael B. Jordan, who is also the sweetest dude in the world. Like the nicest fucking guy. Both those guys are like bizarrely kind if they decide that they like you. I mean, I'm sure they're kind to everyone, but in my experience, they've been nothing but kind. And Sterling, where was I going with this? Sterling was really cool. Damn, I had something that I was going to go
like
with this.
How, it sounds like you're going to say like how you meet them.
Yeah.
Sterling has a good trick for how to meet celebrities. Because he is a celebrity, but he's often in rooms where he might be in a room with somebody that's like his childhood celebrity.
Yeah.
Well, Michael B. Jordan's like his oldest friend.
Yeah.
But he gave me this really good advice one time, and it's true, and it's like, it just makes sense on a logical level. If you're like a house party with people that you are like, oh my God, that's so-and-so over there. If you just go over and you're not weird about it and you're very like chill and you're, they are a human being, right? Yeah. So they're just human beings. Like, you know, the guys are human beings. If you just go up and you're like, don't mean to interrupt at all. I just wanted to say, I saw you here. It's so cool that you're here. Big fan of your work. And then you walk away.
Yeah.
There will be a point later in the evening, like at every house party that you've ever been to, anyone watching, because they're human beings, they're going to be looking around like, where do I go next?
Oh.
And they're going to see and be like, that guy was cool with me, or that girl was cool with me earlier, and she wasn't weird about it, and she likes me.
She didn't try to take a picture.
Yeah, right. But it's like, she was warm enough, and or he was warm enough, and they often will, you'll naturally find yourself having a very chill, pleasant conversation with someone that you really admire.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it doesn't feel like a fan. Here is something about my competitiveness, and I like it, I keep this to myself mostly, but like, I have never met a celebrity in my adult life that I don't think I could be good enough to work with. Mm-hmm. So I don't come at it from a place of like, oh my God, I love your work. It's like, well, I could be working with this person.
Yeah.
I think I'm good enough to. So I don't try to like create a status of unequal ground. Like,
it's like networking.
We are equals in my opinion. So I've always had good experiences with celebrities. For, I guess, Michael B. Jordan, Zac Efron, Sterling. You know, that whole group of friends, they're a very famous group and they're all really nice to me.
Yeah. Before we go, what is on the horizon? What are your goals for the next like year?
Oh.
I just finished with Ricky and Trevor, the guys from Blood Oath. We just finished our first draft recently of a feature film because we are trying to get back to our roots. I moved here to make movies and I think it's very easy to get bogged down in all the other work, you know, whether it's a sketch show or a TV show or internet stuff. But I'm trying to get back to my roots. We just wrote a movie. Ricky's doing The Bear right now. But after he's done with that, we're going to produce it and make it.
Wow, exciting.
Yeah,
oh,
it's an early 2000s period piece, which is weird
That's
to say.
So love it. Funny. Wow. I love so it. Funny.
Vintage.
It all takes place on one day, November 8th, 2004.
Okay.
Which is the night Halo 2 comes out. And that's all I'll say.
Oh. That's so good.
We're thinking flip phones. We're thinking sidekicks. We're thinking kids in weird beanies and DC shoes.
Love it.
But,
no, we're very excited. I'm really just, my ultimate goal is to get back to my roots of wanting to make movies and doing feature films and That's telling awesome. It in that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where can the people find you, J-Pop?
The only social I really use as of late is Instagram. So if you want to get a hold of me.
Like a true millennial.
Like a true millennial. Jared Popkin on Instagram. You can hit me up on there. I'm not that active, but I'm active, baby. And we didn't even talk about our pickleball.
I know. Okay, well.
That's it.
We'll have to have you on next time.
We'll have to talk a whole thing about pickleball.
Yes.
Mags and I play a lot. Mags and I play a lot of pickleball.
Yeah. And we need to get back into it because Jared's been out of town for so long. So, more to come.
More to come. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Of course. Thank you. For coming.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Be sure you're washing your hands, being nice to yourself, being nice to others, registering to vote, peeing after sex, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.